is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
My friends, it's Thursday. You have three shopping days left if Christmas is your thing. And for the first time in... maybe in my lifetime, Hanukkah arrives on December the 25th as well. Very unusual for both dates to coincide on the same day on the calendar, but there it is. If you'd like to join the conversation today, it's 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Love to have you on board if it takes you, if you think you should. Breaking news now. I wondered where she was going to fit in. I wondered where Kellyanne Conway was going to fit in. Well, here it is. She basically is the face of the Donald Trump campaign because she is the first woman to ever lead a national party effort to win the White House, and she was successful. She came on as campaign manager in August when there was a lot of turmoil, and most people believed that Hillary Clinton would get 400 electoral votes. Now she's moving from New Jersey to Washington because she will become a senior counselor to the president. Kellyanne Conway has been a trusted advisor and strategist who played a crucial role in my victory, so said Trump in a statement released earlier this morning. She is a tireless and tenacious advocate of my agenda, has amazing insights on how to effectively communicate our message. I am pleased that she'll be part of my senior team in the West Wing. Conway will now work with senior administration officials to communicate and execute Trump's legislative priorities and actions. So this is key as you head into the first 100 days. He has built a tight team that is effective, it seems. And even if you don't like him or his policies, it's hard to debate right now that his team is tight-knit and effective. He has put together a cabinet so quickly. In fact, I've never seen anything like it. And to be honest, I don't think you have either. No one else has seen anything like this and how fast he is moving in his transition to the White House and the presidency with just more than a month to go. Just under a month now, I guess, actually. Trump's cabinet selections, I just mentioned, have come faster than at any time in my lifetime. I mean, he is moving fast, choosing a wide range of very successful people to fill the ranks around him. Of course, critics have said there are too many billionaires, too many generals and military professionals, but the average American knows these are very successful people, people that we aspire to be, that we look up to. The militant left, however, and their cohorts are screaming at every pick, even though some of these folks are the most qualified people to be chosen by any president in a generation. To make it simple, Donald Trump is, well, picking a group of ass kickers that know how to get things done, done well, done right, and done right now. Now, the left, they continue to drive expectations into the ground. And for Donald Trump, I think that's okay. Make expectations as low as you want to. Make them as low as possible. Because then, even minor successes look big. And big successes are banner headlines, regardless of the New York Times or the Washington Post put them out there. People will find out. So big successes, for example, if the economy in 2017 grows at anything at 3% or better, it will be huge, as he says. And despite those sustained and negative attacks and efforts by Democrats, consumer confidence is rising. The amount of money being spent by real Americans this holiday season is rising, dramatically so. And so are Donald Trump's poll numbers as far as approval numbers go. Now, at the same time, the stock market is very close to topping 20,000 for the very first time. I went back last night and watched some of the hysteria in the early morning hours of November 9th when all of those pundits and all of those so-called experts and all of those on the left, the Young Turks and MSNBC and ABC and elsewhere, had gone into full-on panic and disbelief mode, predicting, my God, the economy is going to crash before December. They are so fearful. The economy is going to crash before December, they were predicting on the 9th of November. Another fabulous prediction coming from the mainstream media and the left. By the way, you should go back and check it out. The economy will be in disarray. People will be in full-on panic in the streets. Well, I'm looking out at the streets right now. You know what I see? People going to work, kids going to school, and snow. And that's what I see. My only real concern at this point is that Trump overheats because he's moving so fast. But then again, he was doing 3 and 4 and sometimes 5 campaign stops and rallies a day during October and November. He came to Michigan. It was 1 o'clock in the morning on Election Day when he made his last stop in Grand Rapids. So my concern is that he could overheat, that he could burn himself out, but then again, it doesn't look like he's lost a step. And of course, now the left has moved on their narrative to blaming James Comey altogether. First, it was, of course, the white nationalists, the white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, and, you know, misogyny and racism and hatred from white men towards Hillary Clinton that pushed Donald Trump into the White House. Then, of course, it was fake news. All of these fake news stories about Hillary Clinton and whatever else. And then, of course, the Russians. And through it all, James Comey was being blamed some. But now it's all back on James Comey's lap. Hillary Clinton apparently telling people around her that she holds James Comey responsible for her loss at the polls. Now, you know, think about this. Hillary Clinton was supposed to win in 2008. Supposed to be a shoo-in. And some guy who was barely a year out of the Illinois State Senate beat her because he was supposedly a once-in-a-generation type candidate. But then this buffoon, this demagogue, this whack job, this inciter of violence, this horrible human being, Donald Trump, who, by the way, was her friend before the election, has apparently become a second-in-a-generation candidate because he, too, beat Madam Secretary. So you have to ask yourself, where does the fault really lie? And does fault really matter? Because to me right now, it's time to move forward. Donald Trump is moving fast, hiring billionaires and generals and good high-quality, high-qualified people. And I, for one, remain very optimistic. And I hope you do as well, because it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to work, America. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, 18 after this Thursday, we're going to check the hotline real quick. Russ checking in from Grand Rapids, WJRW. Russ, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I listen to your program almost every day that you're on. And you have a good program, and it's honesty. A lot of honesty there. And that's good. I've been watching things in Western Michigan that most people apparently are not. And that goes back to a company that's in Ohio. And they own most of the fuel stations in western Michigan. Now, I can't say what goes on in Lansing or Detroit area. I don't know. But western Michigan, up and down. What they are doing is they are controlling gasoline prices. And I believe that if a lawyer was here to say, he'd tell you that's against the law.
Now, I'm going to guess, I don't know for sure, but hold on, Russ. I'm going to guess that you're referring to Marathon.
How do you know?
Well, you said Ohio. They're in Findlay, Ohio. I'm not the dumbest guy on the planet.
That is true. It's Marathon, yeah. And they own Speedway, and if there's another name, I don't know about it.
Yeah, but one that's thing right. I can they own you, those two companies. Go on.
One thing I can tell you, I've been watching this for 17 years, and I've tried to get a fella here at Wood Radio or TV, wherever he is today, to check this out. But I don't think he dared do it because he might lose his job. He's an old gentleman.
Now, Russ, in fairness now, hold on. In fairness, you know, OPEC made a deal. The oil-producing nations of the Middle East, OPEC, and their organization made a deal more than a month ago now to reduce production. So it was expected that we would see higher prices here in the United States as a result for gasoline. And keep in mind, Russ, because of what the Republicans did after Michigan rejected an increase in gas taxes by a rate of better than 4-1, the Republican-led legislature still went through and put together a gas tax increase. And coming January 1st, I believe we're going to see some more gas tax increases here across the state. So it's not just, OPEC cut production. The state's raising taxes, and that's going to take more effect, I believe, in January. But you still think that Marathon, Speedway, and those companies that are all coming out of Findlay, Ohio, may be playing some role in this?
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you the reason why. I checked this out about 4 to 5 years ago. And when they raise pricing, they call every station, gas station, in western Michigan. And they tell them what they have to charge. They tell them what they have to charge. They don't have a yes or a no. That's the game. That's the game. In other words,
all right, Russ. Well,
the
you know what? Here's what we'll do. I'll get, we'll get on the line with Mr. DeHaan from Gas Buddy.
He's hardly on the air anymore. I've listened to him so many times. I'm sick of him. I've listened
to
him.
You don't like it?
I don't know him. I don't know him.
But you don't trust him. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah, I don't think that he, if he knows what's going on with Marathon and what they're doing, it'd be a whole different story. But I don't think, if he does know, he doesn't want to let it out any more than Henry. And that's another example I just talked about.
All right. Russ, I greatly appreciate it. You know what? I'll see if I can do some digging, see if we can find a reason, see if it's, you know, people for years have thought that gasoline prices are rigged. No question, Russ, and I appreciate you checking in. I do. Thank you for sharing. People have always thought, heck, I've thought it. You know, how is it that unrelated companies, Shell on one side, BP on the other, Marathon over here, whatever it may be, and if one station goes up at 8 o'clock in the morning, the other two or three are up by 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. They all go up together, it seems, is my point. And, of course, it shouldn't go up too badly right now because winter blends of gasoline are cheaper as a general rule than summer blends. Yet we're seeing pressure from OPEC. We are seeing pressure from increased taxes because of what was put through to fix Michigan roads. So tax increases, a little bit tighter supply, and we're going to pay at the pump. The question is, how high is it going to go? Prices I'm seeing are somewhere around $2.29, I guess, right now. I'm not sure how it is where you're standing today, but $2.29 is kind of a ballpark average of what I've been seeing around the state in my travels, and I do travel a fair amount and keep an eye on what's going on out there because I am your eyes and ears out there and trying to stay on top of it. All right, if you're looking for that last-minute Christmas gift, I've got it for you. If you've listened to the program recently, you've probably heard us talking about CRTV. If you're tired of the mainstream media, you're going to love CRTV. And right now, listeners of the Steve Gruber Show can get a full year of CRTV for less than $9 a month by going to CRTV.com/Gruber. All one word. Again, that's CRTV.com/Gruber. CRTV is bringing together conservative heavyweights like Mark Levin, Michelle Malkin, Mark Stein, Steven Crowder, and a whole lot more. You'll get a full year of access to these exclusive shows on demand and available on all your favorite devices. You don't need a cable TV subscription, and you never have to worry about missing a program. If you can't watch an episode when it airs, no problem. Just go to CRTV whenever you want, and your shows are all waiting for you. If you're ready to ditch the mainstream media, visit CRTV.com/Gruber. Right now, again, that's CRTV.com/Gruber. You got it. Perfect Christmas gift, by the way. 25 after Larry Pratt in a moment here on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. American values with Midwestern common sense.
All right, this hour of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to businesses across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. On the hotline, the Common Sense Hotline, Brian checking in from DeWitt, Michigan today. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about Clinton's comment about how he's said that Trump only won because he inspired angry white voters, and how it might be the only time in the 25 years that Clinton's been in the spotlight that I actually agree with him. I think what he's missing, though, is the reason why so many people are angry with the way the system is, and that's why we voted for Trump.
Well, his indication was you voted because you're white, and the implication is that you're racist.
I agree that we're all angry, but we're not racist.
Right, I understand that. That was Bill Clinton's implication, is that you're a racist. That's why you voted the way you did. See, his point was you're not just angry, but you're deficient.
I was just saying that we didn't vote. We were angry, but not for the reason he thinks we're angry.
Why do you think?
I think we're just tired of all the shenanigans that the Clintons have pulled over the years. I can't use the words I usually use talking to my buddies about this,
but
I just think that all the backstabbing, all the illegal stuff they do behind the scenes is why we're educated voters. We don't want another Clinton in the White House. And I don't think they can understand that reason is why Trump won. You can shift the blame to everybody they want, but it's because we just were fed up with the Clintons.
Well, we're fed up with – it's not the Clintons. It's the Obama administration for 8 years.
Yeah.
It's the Clintons that will continue that. It's the shenanigans, as you mentioned. It's the nonsense.
Yeah.
It's the holier-than-thou approach to they know better how to handle your family than you do, Brian. They're smarter than
exactly.
You are, clearly. You know, that whole mentality.
Exactly.
But I appreciate
you.
You're
under
exactly
Obama's
right.
administration, my doctor's appointments, office visits went from $35 copay to $128 copay to the same doctor. I mean, those are the kind of things that we're just frustrated over.
Yeah, no question. Brian, thanks for checking in, my friend. I think you've hit it square on the head. I think that, he's just missing it, that's all. He's clearly missing what the truth is. I want to bring you a couple quick stories here because I find them fascinating. Cool selfies aren't the only reason to bring your smartphone into the woods anymore. This comes from the Michigan Wildlife Council. Thanks to a phone app developed by Michigan State University's Department of Entomology, anyone with a smartphone can now help in the battle against invasive species. And this is smart use of technology right here. An invasive species, by definition, is any living organism, plant, insect, fish, amphibian, animal, whatever it may be, that's not native to an ecosystem and that causes harm to the environment, human health, or the economy. Well, this app means you can take pictures of these things, and you can get on the Invasive Species Information Network at MSU, which developed the app. The app allows anyone to snap photos of these invasive species with their smartphone, jot down a couple of notes, and send their alert to a network of scientists and environmentalists so they can get on it and take care of this thing, and hopefully it won't overrun Michigan the way the goby has, or, you know, any zebra mussels or a thousand other things I can think of. Meanwhile, a couple of headlines here that I find disturbing. The much-anticipated results of the largest-ever continent-wide wildlife survey, the Great Elephant Census, that is, released at the World Conservation Congress in Hawaii. And oftentimes, I look at these sorts of reports with some reservation. But in this particular case, it appears to be accurate. There are now 352,000 savanna elephants left in 93% of the species range. But that's a loss of 144,000 elephants in just the last few years because of poaching. Poaching primarily, and some to do with habitat destruction, but mostly poachers. It seems in today's day and age that people can get poaching under control, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. You know, wars in the Central African Republic and the Congo and the South Sudan, putting a lot of the most majestic animals on the planet at risk. Another one of those, giraffes, dying at an alarming rate. Some wildlife biologists saying that if the trend doesn't reverse, this animal that has now been listed as vulnerable for the very first time could head towards extinction. And wouldn't that be a terrible loss? The report released by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, which maintains a so-called red list of species threatened with extinction, for the first time, the giraffe, a vulnerable species. For a guy like me who's been to Africa and seen these animals in the wild, it's a bit disturbing. I bring it to your attention because, well, you need to know these things. Let's see if Chris is available now on the hotline in Bridgeland, I think, north of Kalamazoo. Chris, welcome to the program.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It sounds like you're on a freight train.
Oh, well, let me...
There you go. Now you're good. We got about a minute here. What's on your mind?
Well, you brought up a really good point about the about those poor animals in Africa getting mowed down because, you know, there's money all the way up the chain from the poacher to the people that the poachers pay so that they can do that, and it's unfortunate. But I wanted to talk to you about this meme about how Trump is beholden to Putin, and my question, I had a couple questions. Well, first of all, if he was, which he hasn't done anything, if he was as bad as they say, how's that any different than Clinton and Obama kissing Putin's butt and letting him have the Middle East? And then where do they come up with these memes all the time? I mean, I don't. They must have a factory somewhere that just produces memes about how bad Trump is. And this is the
one. It's called MoveOn.org. It's called MoveOn.org, and Progress America or AmericanProgress.org. I mean, these are the big left wingies that are out there to make it happen, Chris. Appreciate you checking in. Call me back in the future when we have a few more seconds to talk, but I greatly appreciate you, the audience members, chiming in whenever you can on the Steve Gruber Show. Let's continue on. Hotline is lighting up quite nicely right now, actually. Jason is checking in from Gaylord. He's listening to WJML 1110 AM, the hot stick in Petoskey, Michigan, of the Great White North. Jason, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to thank Larry Pratt for making the first compelling argument that actually worked for me about why the national concealed pistol license reciprocity was actually constitutionally viable. And here's where I came down. I have been hesitant to get behind that because I believe in states' rights. I believe that the constitutional framers intended for states to have the ability to create their own legal structure, and then we vote with our buggies where we want to live. I had not really thought through the whole full faith and credit thing that we've been applying to things like driver's licenses, and I hope he's listening. I wanted to thank him for making a good constitutional argument for why this is not only a good idea as far as the pragmatic approach to allowing people to be safer and exercise their constitutional rights, but also why it passes constitutional muster.
Well, there you go, and I greatly appreciate that. You know, Larry is a regular contributor. I don't know if, you know, he doesn't live in our broadcast zone. Of course, he could be checking it out online at stevegruber.com, as so many people do, but I appreciate you chiming in, Jason. And so are you a gun owner?
I am, yes. Yep.
So, but you wanted to make sure that it was constitutionally viable before it was anything else. So there you go. I appreciate you listening.
Amen. Thank you.
There you have it, listening to WJML Petoskey, 1110 a.m. Big Stick, reaching all the way to Gaylord, and 57 after the hour today. We're going to have to go ahead and I don't think we have time for one more. But we'll have to hold those calls for tomorrow. I tell you what, tomorrow's free-for-all Friday. You want to talk about guns, we can talk about that. We can talk about Christmas or what's going on with Trump or Rick Snyder battling back against all the problems with Flint. All right, until then, keep the faith, my friends. I'm Steve Gruber. We'll talk tomorrow.